This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Generation Next. Love it.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside.
It's gay school.
We're totally...
We're serious, okay?
There is totally no form of copyright infringement going on there. But yes, it is gay school. It is that time of the night. Was to talk about some things that have been big in the news lately. Of course, if you have anything to say about these, you can text us in 0427JOY949 or shoot an email to onair@joy.org.au.
Absolutely. So, first up, Tim Wilson announces State of the Nation report on LGBTI rights. Australian Human Rights Commissioner Tim Wilson has announced the Commission will develop a State of the Nation report into how the country's state and federal laws directly impact LGBTI Australians. This is a great initiative.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's something that could always use more solid research for us to back up our angry claims.
Because there are still those who say, oh, people aren't homophobic anymore.
It's not true.
It's like, oh, people don't go out poof-de-bashing anymore. Really?
Really? You just used that word.
But that's what my mom has said. Like, oh, yeah, you used to see people going out poof-de-bashing and they don't see that anymore. Yeah, maybe you don't.
The report will gather information on services and programs currently supporting LGBTI Australians to identify gaps and overlap in service delivery across the country. Sporting activities, the work of LGBTI community organisations, anti-homophobia programs, awards, social groups and resource developments were all identified as targets for the report. Wilson outlined a focus for the Commission on driving inclusiveness for LGBTI people in business and plans to develop a national program of LGBTI role models to help put a public and successful face to young people struggling with their sexuality and gender identity. That's definitely, I mean, more heroes are something that we could all use, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Like, this is needed.
Mm.
Another thing that's been happening, NFL's Michael Sam kissing his partner has been declared annoyingly gratuitous by Sam Newman. Sam Newman has drawn the ire of the LGBTI and wider community after he described a shared kiss between two men on TV as annoyingly gratuitous. The co-host of the AFL Footy Show made the comments during last night's episode after footage was shown of openly gay gridiron athlete Michael Sam kissing his partner in celebration of his historic draft pick into the NFL, the first for an openly gay man in the major league. Newman says, yeah, that's just an annoyingly gratuitous act. After immediate interjections from his fellow hosts, Newman added, "Excuse me, at the risk of being branded no heterosexuals do that when they get drafted. It was a gratuitous act." Really?
Really? No heterosexuals do that?
You know,
really?
It's not like you see straight people kissing on TV all the time.
Or in every movie ever made, ever.
Thankfully, the other two hosts called him out, told him he was homophobic and off the pace, and the crowd booed along with them.
But it's really good to see that at least people in general are getting the message more often than they used to, definitely.
Yeah, Gary Lyon, one of the other hosts, disagreed with Newman and said, "You always see shots of players drafted in basketball or footy, whether they're with their girlfriends, wives, partners. Of course they embrace and kiss." And
of course, that's what you do with someone you love.
I don't understand what Newman is saying here with, "Now we're resigned to do what we're actually doing," which is talking about it.
Oh.
What?
What? We're resigned to... What?
I think he's like, oh, he just wanted people to talk about him and that's what we're doing.
I'm not sure where they're going with this.
He's 68 years old and well and truly beyond it.
Oh, the poor thing. No, but it's just not on in today's day and age. We've been through... We should have been through this by now.
Yeah, especially disappointing given it's coming on the heels of, you know, the major initiatives, the Pride Cup and the football codes and Cricket Australia all coming together to combat homophobia in sport. And that was recently another NRL player in New South Wales used a homophobic slur on another player.
Yeah.
And then there were, you know, that was called out for that. And someone was saying, oh, it's not homophobic to call someone an effing gay or...
Yeah.
Again... Really?
Really? I mean, Like, I get that sometimes words have different usage in certain lexical fields, but that doesn't make them any less offensive to the groups that they demean, you know what I mean?
If it's hurled at you as an insult, it's an insult.
It's an insult, yeah.
You know, people say, oh, it means bundle of sticks. Well, if you're yelling it from a car at someone, or you're preceding it with effing and being physically aggressive, no matter what you're saying, that's an attack.
That's definitely an attack.
Jason Ball, who's an out Australian rules footballer, has said that Newman's comments highlighted why the anti-homophobia campaign was started, to combat negative views and treatment of the LGBTI community, to improve the lives of youths who are faced with disproportionate rates of depression and suicide. With sport culture being so huge in Australia, it is so necessary, and this just proves why.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sport culture is, for better or worse, depending on your point of view, it's definitely a very large part of Australian culture, and it's something that we're all trained to look up to. So it follows naturally that they should be some of the best examples of humanity, ideally.
Fingers crossed that it's still moving in that direction. And hopefully Sam Newman will be retiring soon.
Or at least given a rather hefty slap on the wrist.
He is hoping.
Enforce gender school uniforms harming trans and slash gender diverse students.
Really?
Wow, really? I would never have guessed. Strictly enforce gender requirements for school uniforms are having a negative impact on the health and well-being of trans or gender diverse students, according to lead advocacy organisations. Safe Schools Coalition Victoria and gender diverse youth advocacy organisation YGender have launched Gender Is Not Uniform, which we covered earlier, a campaign to raise awareness of the issue, calling on them to challenge transphobia. YGender interviewed a number of young trans and gender diverse people about the impact of strictly gendered school uniform policies, and many interviewees said being forced to wear a particularly gendered uniform was an awful experience.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about before, that it's, there is no need to make someone who identifies as male wear a dress.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's no need to stop someone who identifies as female from wearing a dress.
And I mean, regardless of your identity, being forced to wear something is never a fun experience. Yeah.
What is a person wearing a dress, what harm are they going to do? Oh my God, that person has legs.
They're going to look fabulous. That's a dangerous thing. You got to watch out for that.
Yeah, that fabulosity that we bring.
One student said taking the issue to the school administration had not helped. In a private school, the uniform policy is really strict, so I don't get to wear the uniform I want. Even though the school principal knows I'm trans, he wouldn't let me wear the guy's pants, he said. I tried to ask, and the principal required me to have an assessment via a children's psychiatrist. And once I have that assessment done, they will discuss with the principal boards and arrange a management plan. But currently, I still have to wear the girls' pants to school, which I feel like crap in. I feel bad a lot of the time. I mean, that's just such a ridiculous, long and convoluted thing.
You need cis people saying, no, we don't believe you unless you go through all these medical grounds, you know, expensive and time-consuming medical tests just to prove that you should be allowed to wear a pair of goddamn pants.
I mean, this is something the trans community has been fighting for a while, and we'll probably have to keep fighting for a while. It's, you know, it's something we call gatekeepers, people who work to stop us from expressing our gender identity. It's a big problem in the trans community. There are so many hoops you have to jump through to get your identity recognised, when really it should be a case of, oh yeah, this is who I am. Oh, okay, that's fine. Let's move on with our lives.
Yeah, no one should have that right to tell other people, no, I don't believe that you are who you say you are. You need to prove it. Ugh.
Roz Ward from Safe Schools Coalition Victoria told the Star Observer the campaign wasn't calling for an end to school uniform altogether, but it stood against the strict enforcement of gendered uniforms. Even the issue of girls wearing pants to school is a lot more controversial than you might expect in 2014, according to Ward. The interviews revealed the strict policing of gendered school uniforms is widespread. Boys have to wear pants or shorts at my school, and the girls have to wear skirts and dresses. They won't sell the pants at the uniform shops to the girls, another student had said.
Yeah, that sounds like my school. You know, we can only wear pants for sport, which I preferred, which is why I stayed in my sport uniform as often as I could. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why, you know, girls wear pants. Girls wear pants a lot.
Girls also have legs.
Yeah. Like, it's not like people are going to be pointing, going, oh my God, that person is not wearing the correct clothing for their assigned gender. Oh my God, that girl's in pants.
Heaven forbid somebody be comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely, obviously, it's centered around the trans community, but if you're not trans, you should still be able to wear whatever you want as long as it's reasonable.
Yeah.
This is silly.
We did get a text in to finish up the show from Daniel saying, love the show and the topics. Federal budget definitely makes me angry, and saying that $7 now will be $20 in no time.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening. You know, it's $7 now, and, you know, Tony Abbott's made it quite clear that he's prepared to make more actions after the next election that he's already broken some promises. He's basically said, I'm going to be breaking more after the next election.
I also like the comment, this is not America, and hopefully we will never have their Medicare system. Amen. I've seen horror stories where people get charged thousands for a simple overnight hospital stay because, you know, it was decided that they might have, their condition might have worsened overnight. They stay at a hospital for the night, they get a bill for thousands in the mail next morning. Yay.
A few years ago, my sister was in the high dependency ward for about a week after major brain surgery. If we were in the US, we'd have been bankrupted by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
For life, literally life-saving surgery. That was like a sizable brain tumor.
And this is why we can't afford as a country to go to that length. You know, Medicare is something that is a very important part of many of our lives.
The fact that Tony Abbott has just walked in and ended free healthcare in Australia, is infuriating.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Oh, to jump quickly back to that topic, it's got a few more minutes. Also, disability pension and young people that he's going to be, you know, that people under, I believe, 35 who are getting disability are going to be reassessed because basically he thinks we're all bludgers.
We've had this discussion before on the show. Yes. That's just a ridiculous concept.
And now it's, you know, there was already the stigma, and now he's just enforcing that.
It's institutionalized stigma, which is just gross.
Yeah, I could have ranted for so much longer about the budget.
Speaking of which, we're actually out of time. What a shock.
Yeah, because we ranted quite a lot.
We didn't quite have time to cover the Disney topic. We'll be looking at that next week. Also, on Is Nothing Sacred later on tonight at 10 p.m, the organisers of the Safe Schools Coalition are on, so you guys might want to check that out.
And ask them some questions about gender is not uniform.
Until next time, I'm Eleanor.
I'm Maddie.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.